بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most compassionate.
صاد والقرآن ذي الذكر.
صاد, and by the Quran full of exhortation. صاد, like other abbreviated letters that feature in the Quran, it is hard to ascertain the exact meaning of the letter Swad that occurs at the surah's beginning. Nonetheless, the opinion of Ibn Abbas and Dahak seems plausible that Swad here amounts to affirming the Prophet's truthfulness. Baghawi, Malim al-Tanzil, comments on Surah Swad 38:1. See also Ibn Abbas, Tanvir al-Mikyas, min Tafsir Ibn Abbas, comments on Surah Swad 38:1. Thus, Swad here symbolizes the following: Muhammad, peace be upon him, is truthful in his statement, or Muhammad, peace be upon him, spoke the truth.
And by the Quran, full of exhortation.
The Quran has been described as the al-dhikr. This admits the following two meanings: A, that the Quran is noble and majestic, and B, that the Quran is full of exhortation insofar as it reminds man of the forgotten truth and rouses him to wake from his heedlessness.
بَلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي عِزَّةٍ وَشِقَاقٍ.
Nay, but the unbelievers are steeped in arrogance and stubborn defiance.
Nay, but the unbelievers are steeped in arrogance and stubborn defiance.
Were we to accept the meaning of Swad as given by Ibn Abbas and Dahak, it would mean swearing by the glorious Quran, or the Quran overflowing with judicious exhortation and good counsel, that it bears testimony that whatever the Prophet, peace be upon him, was teaching was true. As for those who are adamant in rejecting it, they are steeped in arrogance and stubborn defiance. On the other hand, should the letter Swad be taken as one of those abbreviated letters whose meaning cannot be determined, the opening statement would mean the following: the unbelievers do not reject Islam because it is marred by any flaw, or because the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, has failed to fully explain it. On the contrary, it is their foolish arrogance and obstinacy that accounts for their unbelief. This is borne out by the Quran itself, which, being full of exhortation, has left out nothing that is needed to direct people to the truth.
كَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ مِنْ قَرْنٍ فَنَادَوْا وَلَا تَحِينَ مَنَاصٍ.
How many a nation did we destroy before them? When they approached their doom, they cried out for deliverance, but the time for deliverance was already past.
وَعَجِبُوا أَن جَاءَهُم مُنذِرٌ مِّنْهُمْ وَقَالَ الْكَافِرُونَ هَذَا سَاحِرٌ كَذَّابٌ.
They wondered that a warner had come to them from among themselves, and the deniers of the truth said, "This is a sorcerer and a big liar."
They wondered that a warner had come to them from among themselves.
This was the height of the Meccan unbelievers' folly. When a person belonging to their own ethnic group, their nation, and their community, one whom they knew perfectly well, was designated by God to warn them and direct them to the truth, they found it quite strange and bizarre. One simply wonders at their way of looking at things. One would think, on the contrary, that it would have been strange and bizarre if some alien belonging to an altogether different species or a total stranger began asking them to affirm his prophethood. In such a scenario, these people would have been justified in branding this as strange. For how could a non-human serve as a guide to human beings when he has no appreciation of their situation, their emotional predilections, and natural dispositions? Likewise, if a stranger suddenly appeared in their midst, how could they judge his veracity? How could they determine whether he was trustworthy or not?
And the deniers of the truth said, "This is a sorcerer.
The unbelievers branded the Prophet, peace be upon him, a sorcerer in the sense that he had cast a spell over people, so that they blindly followed him, and did so notwithstanding public criticism and social boycott. These believers were so convinced of the truth of their faith that for its sake they did not flinch from forsaking their near and dear ones, and even leaving their hurts and homes. In this respect, they willingly endured all manner of hardship, ranging from loss of business to physical torment and ostracization. For further details, see Al-Anbiya 21, Note 5, Towards Understanding the Quran, Volume 5, page
250-2.
Has he made the gods one single god? This is truly astounding.
وانطلق الملأ منهم أن امشوا واصبروا على آلهتكم إن هذا لشيء يراد.
And the elders among them went forth saying, Go ahead and be steadfast in adhering to your deities. What is being said is with a design. And the elders among them went forth saying,
The allusion here is to the Quraysh chiefs who left Abu Talib's assembly on hearing the Prophet's response.
Go ahead and be steadfast in adhering to your deities. What is being said?
Reference is made here to the Prophet's assertion that if the Meccans were to embrace Islam's basic creedal statement, there is none worthy of worship other than God, both Arabs and non-Arabs would follow them.
Is with a design.
The unbelievers were excessively biased against Islam's basic message. Hence, they suggested that the message ought not to be taken at its face value. Its true purpose, far from being altruistic, was simply to establish the Prophet's hegemony.
ما سمعنا بهذا في الملة الآخرة إن هذا إلا اختلاق.
We have not heard this in the religious community close to our time. This is nothing but a fabrication. We have not heard this in the religious community close to our time.
The Meccan unbelievers contended that neither their own ancestors, nor the Christians and Jews of Arabia and neighboring countries, nor the Magians of Persia, Iraq, and Eastern Arabia ever preached that man should exclusively devote himself to the one true God as the sole Lord of the universe. Indeed, they found it hard to believe that man should confine his devotion to just one God to the exclusion of those that were held dear by the Supreme God. They drew attention to the rampant idolatry and polytheism in their own land, how men and women zealously invoked a host of gods and goddesses, visiting their shrines, making offerings at altars, and addressing their prayers to idols. They visited the so-called sacred precinct, expecting that they would be granted children and abundant wherewithal, for these idols had the power to help them. Given this, the Prophet's insistence on uncompromising monotheism sounded as totally outlandish to them. It was beyond them to believe that none of these gods and goddesses had any share in God's Godhead, and that He alone was single-handedly the Lord of His entire realm.
أأنزل عليه الذكر من بيننا بل هم في شك من ذكري بل لما يذوقوا عذاب.
Has this exhortation been sent down among us only to him, to the exclusion of all others? Nay. They are in doubt regarding my exhortation, and are saying all this because they have not yet had any taste of my chastisement. Has this exhortation been sent down among us only to him, to the exclusion of all others? Nay, they are in doubt regarding my exhortation.
In other words, God tells the Meccan unbelievers that they were in fact rejecting him rather than rejecting the Prophet, peace be upon him. As far as the Prophet, peace be upon him, is concerned, they had never entertained any doubt about his veracity and integrity. It is stressed that the skepticism being expressed by the Meccan unbelievers was on account of the exhortation that God had revealed. It is only when the Prophet, peace be upon him, began to teach the book embodying exhortation that they began to cast aspersions on one whose veracity was once held as absolutely beyond every doubt. The same observation was made in Surah Al-An'am 633. See Towards Understanding the Quran, Volume 2, 633, Note 21, pages 226-7.
أَمْ عِنْدَهُمْ خَزَائِنُ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّكَ الْعَزِيزِ الْوَهَّابِ
Do they possess the treasures of your Lord, the Most Mighty, the Great Bestower?
أَمْ لَهُمْ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فَلْيَرْتَقُوا فِي الْأَسْبَابِ
Or do they possess the dominion of the heavens and the earth, and of all that is in between them? If so, let them ascend the heights of the realm of causation and see.
Or do they possess the dominion of the heavens and the earth, and of all that is in between them? If so, let them ascend the heights of the realm of causation and see.
This is a rejoinder to the Meccan unbeliever's statement casting doubts about God's messenger. Has this exhortation been sent down among us only to him to the exclusion of all others? In response to this, God makes it plain that it is for him and for none else to choose whomsoever he wants to appoint as his prophet. Others can only make such decisions if they can scale to the heights of God's throne and thereby determine who should and who should not receive the revelation. This point is made at several places in the Quran in response to the Quraysh unbelievers' query. Why was Muhammad, peace be upon him, rather than one from among the noted chiefs of the Quraysh designated as God's prophet? See Bani Israel 17:100 and Al-Zukhruf 43:31-2 below.
جند ما هنالك مهزوم من الأحزاب
This is only a small army out of the several armies that will suffer defeat here.
This is only a small army out of the several armies that will suffer defeat here.
The word here in the verse refers to Makkah. It is being said that right in Makkah, where Islam's opponents delivered such hostile nonsense, they will be worsted and eat dust. The time is not far off when they will stand as sorry figures before the man whom they dismissed as too humble for prophetic office.
كَذَّبَتْ قَبْلَهُمْ قَوْمُ نُوحٍ وَعَادٌ وَفِرْعَوْنُ ذُو الْأَوْتَادِ
Before them, the people of Noah, Ad, and Pharaoh of the Ten Pegs gave the lie to the messengers.
Before them, the people of Noah, Ad, and Pharaoh.
Pharaoh has been called as one of the tent pegs. This expression is being used either to denote that Pharaoh's empire was firmly established, as though its pegs were deeply rooted into the earth, or to denote that he had a very large army, and wherever that army was stationed, the area became full of tents secured by pegs. It is also possible that the allusion here is to the fact that Pharaoh also used to punish those who angered him and did so by having pegs hammered into their bodies. Moreover, it is also possible that the pegs might allude to the pyramids that were deeply rooted in the earth as are pegs.
وثمود وقوم لوط وأصحاب الأيكة أولئك الأحزاب
And so did Thamud and the people of Lot and the people of Aika. These were all leagued together.
إن كل إلا كذب الرسل فحق عقاب
Each of them gave the lie to messengers, and my decree of chastisement came upon them.